Right now, in the midst of this season of giving, we're going to take an hour to be grateful for what we have. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today we're going to talk about gratitude. Mary Jane Ryan has studied the benefits of cultivating a sense of gratitude. I'll talk with her about what being grateful can do for us and for others in our lives. She's the author of Giving Thanks, The Gifts of Gratitude, and a number of other books about gratitude and kindness. Later on, we teach our children to say please and thank you, but how can we teach them to truly appreciate the blessings in their lives? Kimberly Greeter is a family life specialist with Iowa State University Extension. She'll give us some ideas for how to help our children develop a sense of gratitude. We also want to hear from you. What are you grateful for in your life? Please join our conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today we're going to talk about gratitude, how to cultivate a sense of gratitude in our children and in ourselves, how being grateful can change our lives for the better and impact those around us. And in a few minutes, I'll be talking with MJ Ryan. She's the author of Giving Thanks, The Gifts of Gratitude. But first, Lori Berglund has a touchstone in her life that reminds her of many things she's grateful for. And she recently shared this story in our Iowa Magazine, where she regularly publishes as the Hamilton County Hawkeye. Lori, thank you for talking with me today.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you.
And this is the story of your grandmother's ring. Your grandmother passed away 50 years ago. What happened to that ring when she passed away?
Well, I tell you, as my mother has always told the story to me, that her dad, whose name was Jim, looked at his two daughters. They had just two girls, and said, "If you two girls fight over this ring, I'm just going to sell it, because, after all, it's only an object." But they were his children, and they were a lot more important. So the girls decided, my mother and my aunt said, "Well, we won't fight over it. We will just go ahead and share it." So they actually flipped a coin, and the person who won that coin toss got to wear the ring for the first year. So that would have been the Christmas of 1959. And every year since then, without fail, they have changed it back and forth, one to the other.
Why do you think this ring was so important to them then?
Well, it symbolized, you know, the love that their parents shared. Their folks got married later in life, much especially for back then. I think my grandmother was about 38 years old. And she probably got married in the late 20s. It had to be the late 1920s. So that was really unusual. To find love at that point in your life in those days was rare, and you treasured it. And, of course, that ring also makes them think of their mother.
And they have shared this ring back and forth every year for now over 50 years.
Yes.
What do you think it means to them now when they put that ring on Christmas?
Well, you know, I remarked to my mother recently, I said, "Do you realize that you have worn this now almost as long as your mother got to wear it?" Because she passed away in 1959. She was in her early 60s. And actually, each of them have worn it for 26 years now, I think it is. So it's part of them as well as part of their mother.
And I think it speaks to their sisterhood, too. Can you tell me a little bit about their relationship as sisters?
You know, if I'm talking about my mother and her sister, there's one thing that they would just kill me if I didn't say. They're full-blooded Irish. And, you know, the Irish are very close-knit. And that's true, I'm sure, of a lot of nationalities. But we Irish were kind of proud, and we always talk about that. But they have always been a close family. And my cousins, you know, I think the world of all of them. They live in Fort Dodge. My mom lives in Webster City. And just about everyone in our family is a farmer as well.
Is there anything special that they do as they pass the ring back and forth?
No, they just, there's a little bit of kidding from year to year. You know, sometimes your hand might be swollen. It's like, "I don't think you're going to get this off me this year." And she might say, "Well, we'll cut off the finger if we have to and give it back and forth." But no, they're just a little lighthearted teasing and keep it fun, I would say.
And you have worn this ring yourself.
Yes, I did. I asked my aunt a few months before my own wedding, and that was in 2006. And I said, "I have a favor to ask." And she looked at me like, "What?" And I said, "I would like to wear Grandma's ring on my wedding day." I said, "That will be my something borrowed and my something old both." And she didn't hesitate. She just said, "You sure may." And as soon as she got to the church that morning, she came right to find me and said, "Here, this is." And I wore it, and I just think it was a blessing to wear that ring as I married my husband.
Today, for the next hour, we're going to talk about lots of things that people are grateful for and how to cultivate that sense of gratitude. And I think we're going to talk a lot about things that aren't objects, but this object seems to sum up so much of what is important to you in your life. What does it mean?
Well, and actually, one of the things I tried to communicate in the article is that it's so important for brothers and sisters to stay close. And that's true of brothers, too. I've got three great brothers. But, you know, sometimes when the parents are gone, children will end up in a fight over the possessions that their folks left on this earth, and they overlook the most important thing that their parents left them, and that is each other. You know, brothers and sisters know each other so well. You can fool some people, but by golly, you usually cannot fool a brother or a sister. And I always say also that you can always talk to your sister. You can tell your sister everything. I have found that to be true in my own life. I have one sister, and we tease each other and give each other crazy gifts each year. But it's so important to stay close with your family, I believe.
And I hope that ring continues to pass back and forth for many years.
Oh, I do too. You know, both of them enjoy pretty good health. They still run around in their high heels in the wintertime on ice, even though we tell them not to. And they're a lot of fun, my mother and her sister.
Lori, thank you so much.
All right. Well, thank you.
Lori Berglund is the Hamilton County Hawkeye for Our Iowa Magazine. You're listening to Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, and today we're talking about gratitude. With me now is Mary Jane Ryan. She is the author of Giving Thanks, The Gifts of Gratitude, and many other books about kindness, gratitude, and happiness. And we'd like to hear from you today as well. As we're going to talk about cultivating that sense of gratitude, we want to know what you're grateful for. Give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Mary Jane, thank you for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And if people are looking for my books, however, I write under the name MJ Ryan, so people will need to look for that.
All right. We'll make sure people know that. So why do you think that gratitude is so important?
Well, certainly it's something that many of us have been taught, you know, at church or in our families, as a practice that's been a spiritual practice. However, in the last 10 years or so, there's been this explosion of research in psychology that shows what are the effects that gratitude actually has on our body, our mind, and our spirit. And there's just these amazing things that have been discovered about what practicing gratitude can actually do for us. It actually helps us live longer, for instance.
What are some of the other benefits that we've found?
Yeah, people who are more thankful take better care of themselves. They think, and this probably is why then you live longer, that they think it's because when we're grateful, we understand the gift that life is. And so we thankful folks put on sunscreen more often, have health checks more often, take better care of ourselves. That's amazing, isn't it? People who are also more thankful are happier. It's actually, practicing gratitude is one of the fastest, happiness boosters that we have in our lives. It doesn't take any time or any money, but if we'd stop and think about one thing that we're grateful for right now, we feel better.
So when you say practicing gratitude,
yes,
explain what that means.
Well, many of us think that thankfulness just happens when something great happens to us. So, you know, we win the lottery, we get a great Christmas present, our child gets married, and we feel so thankful for being there. So there are events that happen and things that we acquire that make us feel spontaneously grateful. However, I, like many other people, used to think that was the only time you were thankful. But in fact, it's really the reason I use the word practice is because we can turn the magic on at any time. It has absolutely nothing to do with getting something great in the mail. It's really about saying, okay, in this moment, what can I look out in my life about or about life itself that I can appreciate, that I can notice. It's a practice of noticing, because it's the good stuff is already there. So is the bad stuff, right? There's good and bad in every one of our lives. But practicing gratitude is when we shine the flashlight of our attention on what's good.
How do you think this is different from just someone who has a positive outlook on life? I tend to be a very optimistic person. But how would you differentiate that from someone who practices gratitude?
Yes, so both of these fall into the categories of the positive emotions. And there's been interesting research done on what good are these things. And what they do, both of them, is they help us recover from the negative ones. Because when we have anger, fear, pessimism, our fight or flight mechanism turns on, and we're wearing our bodies out by the stress of that experience of fight or flight. What happens with things like gratitude, hopefulness, optimism, is that it turns off the stress response and allows our bodies and minds to come back into balance. But there is a difference between the two. Optimism, as you said, is always looking on the bright side, saying, well, in this circumstance, what could be right about this? But what's still okay about this situation? Gratitude is really saying, what can I appreciate about my life right now? So there's a slight difference. And I think for some folks, it's easier to practice gratitude than it is to be optimistic, because it doesn't ask you to look on the sunny side of life all the time. It's really just about saying, what can I enjoy and appreciate about what's happening to me today? So it's not saying that everything is good. It's saying, what could be good? Well, what's good is that I'm looking out on it's a cold, dreary day. I live in Northern California. It's been raining. I am really grateful right now that I am sitting in a warm house and that I have heat. That's an example of gratitude.
Well, we'll
slightly
talk,
different than optimism.
Right,
yeah.
But it does sound like people who tend to be optimistic would have an easier time practicing gratitude than people who just tend in the other direction.
Well, and it's interesting what that tendency is that this neuroscientists have begun to discover that we have, that people who are both more grateful and optimistic naturally, as you're describing, they have what's called a left prefrontal tilt, meaning that what happens to them tends to be processed in the left prefrontal cortex, which is where those positive emotions exist.
Well, we will talk more about the science of gratitude and also some ideas for how to practice gratitude and bring it into your life. My guest right now is MJ Ryan. She is the author of Giving Thanks, The Gifts of Gratitude, and many other books about happiness, kindness, and gratitude. And we'd also like to hear from you. Tell us what you're grateful for. 866-780-9100. Paula from North Liberty will be on the show just in about 2 minutes. You're listening to Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, and today we're talking about gratitude. In a few minutes, we're going to be joined by another guest, Kimberly Greeter from Iowa State University, and we're going to talk about cultivating a sense of gratitude in our children. But first, we're talking about cultivating a sense of gratitude in ourselves. My guest is MJ Ryan. She's the author of Giving Thanks, The Gifts of Gratitude, and many other books about kindness and gratitude. And we just started talking a little bit about the science of gratitude and how it operates in your brain. And I want to get back to that and also talk about some of the practices of gratitude. But Paula is on the line from North Liberty with her story. Hello, Paula.
Hi, Charity.
Hi.
This is such a great time of year, of course, to talk about gratitude. But we practice gratitude all the time in my home because we talk a lot openly about our two children that we have adopted. We adopted our one son at 3 and a half, and his birth mom lives in the same community we live in. And then we're in the process of adopting our second child, who is 6. And we also maintain an open adoption with his birth mom. And one of the gifts that I give to them is my gratitude, that without their love for their children, I wouldn't be a mom. And their gift to me is immeasurable. I mean, you can't measure it. And so I consciously thank them when we email each other and thank them, and I'm just so grateful for them that they allowed me to raise their children and make them my own.
Well, Paula, that's a beautiful story. Thank you so much for calling and sharing.
Thank you. So this is for all those, you know, birth moms out there and birth dads who make the ultimate sacrifice so that their children can be happy and healthy. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for your call, Paula. And MJ, when Paula was talking about that, that's the gift that she gives to them as well. In your book, you write about generosity and how generosity really goes in hand with gratitude. Can you explain the relationship for me?
Yes. I came to understand as I began to practice gratitude and help other people do it as well, is that it's really half of an experience. It's like the in-breath, which is that when we recognize what we've been given, so the beautiful story of that adoptive mother is that she recognizes that she's received a gift. That's what the practice of gratitude is, noticing that you've been given something. When you notice that, you feel a sense of fullness. Your life feels good all of a sudden. And from that fullness, you naturally want to give back. That's the exhale. So it's meant to be a cycle of inhale and exhale, noticing what we have, and from that sense of fullness, giving back to the world. And when we experience it that way, then we don't experience burnout in our generosity because we're filling ourselves up and then we're spilling over with what we have to offer.
If you're not a person that comes by this kind of outlook on life naturally, mm-hmm. if you're not a naturally grateful person or a naturally optimistic or sunny person, what are some of the things that you can do to practice gratitude?
Yes. So first of all, the good news is you're not condemned to your fate, to be unhappy. There's been research done by Martin Seligman showing that even seriously depressed people can learn to practice gratitude and feel a little bit less depressed. So no matter what kind of mood you're in, you can actually elevate your mood at least a little bit. And the trick is this, is to understand that it's not an either-or experience. You don't wait for your life to be great. It's an and experience. In the midst of whatever is hard or difficult, saying to yourself, and what do I appreciate about my life right now? So that's the real key practice. When to do that, you can do it in the morning, you can do it at night. You can do it with your family, you can do it by yourself. You can write it down, you can think it, you can say it. It's really simple. It's just the doing of it in any of those forms works. My favorite way, which I have done with since my daughter was two, was and if you sit down at my table for dinner, whoever you are, you're going to be asked a question. What are you thankful for today? And we go around the table and everyone says one thing. And when my daughter was two, she was also adopted. She couldn't speak then. But she used to take her little finger and she'd point to every other person at the table.
Wow.
Isn't that sweet? So it's just a beautiful way not only to practice gratitude, but if you do it, you'll notice how connected you feel to each other as a result of doing it.
If you decide that you want to practice gratitude and you make this conscious decision, and even if you are feeling very negative about the things in your life and you sit down and you think about one good thing or you write down one good thing, I can imagine that that would feel artificial to someone in the throes of depression or in the midst of a really difficult time in life. How do you make it real?
Yes, that's such an important question. I think that's the key question. So making a list, like saying, I have to come up with 10 things I'm thankful for, and pushing yourself to do it as an exercise, it does not work. You don't get that sense of uplift. You don't feel any better. What works is actually feeling it, even if it's only one thing. So what are you really grateful for right now? Really? And allowing yourself to experience the warmth of it. So an example was I was working with this woman and she was complaining about her kid, and I was saying that I practice just-in-time gratitude, which is when I'm really angry at somebody or really frustrated by my husband or my child, I stop and say, okay, come on, come up with something I really appreciate inside my head so I won't be so mad. So I was teaching her that, and she was going, well, she comes out and she's wearing these horrible clothes and da-da-da, and then I say, okay, but what do you appreciate? And she said, well, I guess I'm glad, you know, that she's my child. So it was like, wait a minute, do you see how vividly you're imagining the bad stuff, but how the good stuff is too vague? What specifically do you appreciate about her? Is it the twinkle in her eye? Is it the cute little curls? Is it the, you know, is it her willingness to pitch in and help? The more specific you can be with what you're thankful for, the more you'll actually feel it.
And here we are at Christmas time, which is the holiday that the majority of people here in the state of Iowa celebrate. And it is a time when people give presents and give often a lot of presents. And I think we've all probably been to Christmas celebrations where there's a lot of stuff and not as much feeling as you want. This time of year, do you have some tips for people about how to incorporate a sense of gratitude into their holiday celebration?
Well, I think that whenever we're gathering with our family, whether or friends, I think doing the practice of going around and saying one thing you're really thankful for. I did that with my family at Thanksgiving last year. I don't usually spend Thanksgiving with my family because we live 3,000 miles away, but I took them through that process, and they had never done it, and they felt so wonderful about one another. So I would suggest that one. The other thing is this. In our house, the way we do presents is we only open them one at a time. It's not a mad grab of everyone tearing papers. It's like, okay, so now it's your turn for you, this gift that I have purchased for you. Then you open that. And so slowing it down a little bit and recognizing, even if you don't like the thing, the sweater doesn't fit, you can't wear cashmere or whatever, it's that somebody, this person thought about you and cared about you and wanted to offer this to you. So if you slow it down and you really recognize that you're receiving this, then I think you'll get the maximum joy out of the possibility of thankfulness.
Well, Mary Jane, thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Mary Jane Ryan, or MJ Ryan, is the author of Giving Thanks, The Gifts of Gratitude, and many other books about kindness and happiness and gratitude. And we do want to hear from you about what you're grateful for this holiday season or what you're grateful for throughout the year. I know a lot of you have some great stories to share. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. My guest now is Kimberly Greeter. She's an associate professor of human development and family studies at Iowa State University. She's also a family life specialist with ISU Extension, and she is the writer of the Science of Parenting blog. We'll put a link to that blog up on our Facebook page. Hello, Kim.
Good morning.
And what I want to turn to now is the subject of kids, because, of course, you know, we work hard to make our kids polite. We teach them to say please. We teach them to say thank you. But it's important to also help them appreciate all of the good things about their lives, to develop this sense of gratitude. And first, Kim, what makes it important for kids to have a sense of gratitude? We want it as parents, but why?
Okay. Earlier, one of the speakers talked about some of the research that's out there. And there has been quite a bit of research, and most of it's been done on adults, but more and more research is being done with kids, and especially early teens, as young as 10 years of age. And some of the main reasons is why we want children to be able to have a sense of gratitude is it does really is linked to their social, emotional, and physical health. And kids that have sense of gratitude, and that can be developed as early as 10 years of age, have a more positive outlook on life, and they actually have greater life satisfaction, less stress. They're able to cope with things better, and they're also more caring, compassionate to others. And when we think about what kind of a world do we want to have kids be growing up who are giving to their communities and are able to look beyond themselves. And so for me, those are some of the key reasons why we want children to have a sense of gratitude.
Oh, and you talk about their resiliency. We want them to be resilient adults as well.
Exactly. And so it's really, gratitude is really related to a life skill. And as I mentioned, kids as early as 10, cognitively and emotionally are able to start to develop this sense of gratitude. And it's going to really shape the kinds of experiences they have and who they become. And adults are really key in setting the stage and creating opportunities for kids to develop gratitude. Some kids will develop it more easy than others for some of the kinds of reasons that you heard earlier. But adults, certainly children that have a disposition to be pessimistic, negative, can develop a sense of gratitude, but it may take more work on the part of the parent or the adult in their life to create those opportunities purposefully to allow them to develop gratitude.
And we're going to get to some of those ways to create opportunities in a moment. We'd also like to hear from you, not only what you're grateful for, we want to hear those stories, but also as a parent, what have you done to help your children be grateful, to cultivate the sense of gratitude in your kids? 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can also tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Kim, I think a lot of us as parents, we remind our kids a lot, you know, that they have many good things in their lives. But other than just telling them, what are some of the things that we can do to help them understand that they should be grateful for things?
Sure. One of the things I think all of us can first think about is our own words and our own actions. Kids are great observational learners. They learn from adults, what adults do and what adults say. And when adults that they look up to in their life are showing gratitude, kids pick up on that and they observe that behavior and they learn it. So I guess the first thing I'd say as a parent, and I continually have to think about this in my own life, is how am I interacting with my own kids and showing them that I'm grateful for them, that I'm grateful for what I have, that I'm grateful that I have a job, that I have not just a job, but a job that I enjoy doing, that I'm grateful for my neighbors, that I'm grateful even for the stuff that we have. How do I express that to my kids? And not just in words, but by taking care of things, by participating in community activities. And when I think about my an example with my own children, one of the things I remember doing a couple years ago in a small community that we lived in, they had something similar to the angel tree, but it was around Thanksgiving. And for families who never had money to purchase a turkey or a pie or the different kinds of things that traditionally we think about Thanksgiving, they could submit their name. And the local library would take a list of names of families who would be interested in food for Thanksgiving. And so my kids at the time were about 2, and I have to calculate their ages, 2 and 7, and I think 10. And what we did is we got a name of a local family, and we went and we bought a turkey, and we made a homemade pie, and we brought some potatoes and other kinds of things. And then we actually went to the family's house and delivered the Thanksgiving dinner. And for me, that was a great experience as an adult to reinforce the importance of gratitude and giving. But for my children to be involved in making the pie and to actually learn about the family and visit with them that we were delivering the food from, I think helped them understand what they had and appreciate what they had more, but also to just understand other family situations.
It's interesting when you tell that story. It makes me think that in some ways, the amount of things, the more prosperous we are, the more things we have in our life, the easier it is to take all of those things for granted. Is this sort of an epidemic among middle class and upper class families that it's difficult to develop that sense of gratitude when things come so easily?
I think it certainly can be. And I think it calls for people to be more purposeful in what they're trying to accomplish in life. And even, I mean, and specifically with their children. Commonly when I visit with parents, I start off by asking parents to think about what kind of child are they trying to create? What do they want that child to become? You know, what kinds of attitudes, beliefs, behaviors, etc. And then what kinds of experiences do you help create as a parent that you have control over to create that? And so when we think about stuff, I think families can get pretty busy and get overscheduled. And the holiday comes and they think about all these things they need to be doing and all the presents and the big lists that their kids have. And they think about just accomplishing all these tasks and all these stuff and sometimes don't step back and think about how that relates to what kind of child they're trying to create. And not that stuff is bad, but we can forget about the real big picture if we just get too busy passing through life. And I think as people become more affluent and have more financial resources, sometimes they buy stuff for the kids to see the smile and to make them happy, but it doesn't necessarily create inner gratitude in children. And they just expect more stuff without giving much thought to meaning behind that. And then as they grow up to be young adults and parents, they may find it more difficult to have gratitude as an adult, as well as help teach it to their own kids.
I'm talking with Kim Greeter. She's an associate professor of human development and family studies at Iowa State University. And we've been talking about gratitude all hour today. Right now we're talking specifically about developing a sense of gratitude in our children. And if you have a story to share about something that you're particularly grateful for in your life, we'd love to hear your story. Or if you've done something with your kids that you really feel helped them feel grateful and understand the benefits in their life, give us a call, 866-780-9100. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, and today we're talking about gratitude, the benefits of developing and maintaining a sense of gratitude. And we want to hear from you. What are you grateful for in your life? 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. Send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. I'm talking right now with Kimberly Greeter. Pardon me. I'm grateful that my voice usually doesn't do that. Kimberly Greeter, who is an Iowa State University Extension Family Life Specialist. She's also the author of the Science of Parenting blog from Iowa State University. We're talking about cultivating that sense of gratitude in our children and the benefits of that. But Christine from Cedar Rapids has called to talk about what she's grateful for this year. Hello, Christine.
Hi.
Hi. What are you grateful for?
Well, about 17 years ago now, I became a drug addict. I had my life just took one terrible turn after another until I found myself homeless. And every day, after I became homeless, I started turning to God and looking for things every day, anything, any little thing to be grateful for. And over the past couple of years, I've kept that up. Every night before I go to bed, I think back through my day, no matter what it is. I think and I feel the gratefulness. And it has changed my life totally. I'm a full-time student about ready to graduate with my AA degree. I have a great relationship with my children again. I have a wonderful relationship with my grandchildren, and I try to bring my positives and teach them about being grateful for, you know, the little things that they have in their life too. It really does. I can testify that it changes your whole disposition in your life if you just look each day for some small thing, no matter what it is, to be grateful for.
Christine, thank you so much for sharing that. It sounds like not only do you have a lot to be grateful for, you have a lot to be proud of as well.
Thank you. Well, have a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, you too. Thank you very much for your call, Christine. Kim, I want to return to the subject of teaching our children gratitude and helping them cultivate that sense of gratitude. So we've talked about acts of generosity, helping them participate in acts of generosity and how that can not only help them understand that they have more than some other people might have, but just that act can help them feel grateful for what they have and give them a positive feeling. What are some of the other things you can do with your kids?
Sure. I even think about, for example, with my kids, and I see it mostly in my youngest daughter, who's five, and she's in kindergarten. And what I think is wonderful about the early years is kids do a lot of hands-on activities and they do a lot of crafts. And when it comes to holiday time, they make a lot of decorations and they make a lot of homemade gifts. And I've even seen them, and I remember seeing this with my boys now who are 11 and 14, that making that homemade gift, and it's not the perfect gift, but how excited they get about it and about who they're going to give it to. And then when they give that gift to the parent or their brother, with my daughter in particular, how excited is she is about, she can't wait for me to open up and to see it and to put it on the fridge or to hang it. And that's a simple way to help children develop gratitude. And we, like I mentioned, we see it a lot with the early ages that we do with kids in schools or through faith activities, etc. But we can do it with our older kids too. A couple years ago, my son, who's now 14, for his brother, who's a couple years younger, for Christmas, he made him a CD of music that he knew was his brother's favorite music. But how it developed a sense of gratitude is he had to stop and think about his brother, who certainly he has conflict with and sibling rivalry and all those things that are normal, but what kinds of music his brother liked. And then he took a few hours to purposely go in and select songs that his brother would like, put down a CD, and then was very excited for his brother to open it up and see it. So it was a homemade gift that never cost much, but his brother, in turn, really appreciated that he took the time to do that. And I think they became more grateful for each other. Gratitude also develops as we strengthen our relationships with each other and we take that time to be together. So by doing things with your kids, even the simple things, helps you learn to appreciate each other more. Some of the other kinds of things, and some folks have already mentioned, is even when you're with your kids, whether it's around a dinner table, if you actually find time to eat meals together, you're traveling in the car, and during this holiday season, just to have a go around and say one thing that makes me happy today, one thing that I'm thankful for. Those simple things to do occasionally with your kids help to develop senses of gratitude.
Well, it's interesting that you're talking about Christmas gift giving and making those gifts. I was thinking just last night as I was doing, I have small children, a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old. So we were doing a craft project together last night. And I was thinking back on all of the Christmases with my family, and I remember very few of the gifts that I received over the year. I can't come up with probably more than 10 things that I can think of that I've gotten from my family over the years, item-wise, but I remember those events, and I remember doing things together or, you know, being snowed in together. It's the things that we did together that seem to make those memories as well. So even beyond a sense of gratitude, that seems to be important for just cementing those relationships and making memories.
Right. And I think making those memories helps you then, as you grow up, be grateful for those people who were part of your life. One of the callers that had talked about being homeless, what it made me think about is that when we've had to suffer a bit, and the example she gave was deep suffering. But for all of us, when we've had to do without something for a period where it's left us a little empty, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's a marriage that didn't work out, or a boyfriend or a girlfriend. But when we've had a sense of emptiness, when that becomes filled, we become very grateful for that. So sometimes, and not for this to be detrimental to children, but when they're able to feel a sense of emptiness or a sense of loss, when that becomes filled, they develop gratitude. So I say this simply because if we're constantly doing for our kids, we're constantly buying for our kids, we're constantly getting them everything that they want, getting them to participate in everything that they say they want to do, do we ever provide them an opportunity to ever know what it's like to do without? And like I said, not to have negative ramifications upon children.
Don't
at
engineer
all.
Difficult situations.
Yeah,
for your kids.
Exactly. I mean, you don't want to do anything detrimental to your children. But if we do everything for them and we give them everything, they never get the opportunity to be able to fill up a gap when they feel empty. And so to be able to have that sense of gratitude. An example, and this isn't gift giving, but one of my brothers who had served in Vietnam, I remember when he came back, he was just so happy to be with family. And I remember talking to him one time, and he lived in an old farmhouse that was nothing special at all. His furniture was nothing special at all, and never had hardly any material possessions. And I remember him commenting different times that that's not what he needed, that he really was thankful for friends and family, and he was simply thankful to have shelter and to have a place to sleep. And so as far as having some of the extra luxuries, that's all they were extra luxuries, but there weren't things that he prioritized in his life. So even when he passed away, there was hardly any material possessions that he had to give away. And the things that he had were things that were connected to memories. So I remember going through his house and thinking, okay, what kinds of things might I like? What I remember for myself was he had a blanket that was a big furry blanket with a teddy bear on it that a friend had given to him. And that's all I wanted to remember him. And it also helped me to be grateful for him as a brother. So that example, to try to pull it in, was in the sense of when he served in the military, there was a lot of emptiness in a lot of ways. He was serving his country, but there was a lot of physical things that he didn't have. There was a lot of relationships that people that he wasn't able to see that he cared about. But when he came back, he was able to really identify what he was grateful for. And I think at this time too, certainly, a lot of our military families, I think, are some that shine the most with gratefulness at this time of year.
You can join our conversation by calling 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Join us. Let us know what you're grateful for in your life right now. We've had a few really tremendous stories this hour. But if you have a simpler story, that's okay too. 866-780-9100. Or what have you done with your children that you really feel has worked to help them cultivate a sense of gratitude? What are some of the things that you were able to do with them that really stand out in your mind? 866-780-9100. And we have an email from Earl in Ames, and I want to get your thoughts on this, Kim. It's not exactly your area of expertise, but he wants to know, is there a nexus to the benefits of gratitude and to those of forgiveness? Do you have some thoughts on that?
Okay. Can,
it's a difficult question, I know.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what the question's really...
So the benefits of practicing forgiveness or in teaching forgiveness, would they mm-hmm. be similar to the benefits of practicing gratitude and teaching gratitude?
I personally think there is a strong relationship between that. When we practice forgiveness, when we truly forgive, we have to stop and we have to... Excuse me.
It's all right.
We have to stop and we have to really reflect on our thoughts, our attitudes and our behavior. And we have to be able to accept what someone has done and be willing to move on and to forgive. And I think in gratitude, it caused some of that deep reflection as well to really stop and be you're stopping to be thankful for what someone has done for you. And I think forgiveness, when we do that, when we forgive someone, I think we're also valuing the relationship with that person, which also may also be creating a sense of gratitude too. So I think there is some similarities there.
Edward is on the line in Davenport. Hello, Edward.
Hello.
Hi, what are you grateful for this year?
I am grateful for my almost 3-year-old son, Leo. 2010 has been an incredibly rough year on me. I went through a divorce in spring, and then this fall my father passed away from a battle with diabetes and the complications thereof. And watching my son grow from a baby to a toddler, and now he's, you know, just a little boy running around getting into everything he can get into, has made me realize that there are things that are more important in life than hanging on to events past. And every day that I spend with that child is the best day of my life. Progressively better and better and better. And he takes all the negativity in my life and just erases it with a smile. It's amazing. And I could not be more grateful for my son.
Well, Edward, thank you so much for calling.
No problem. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, and happy holidays. Kim, we only have a moment left, and I want to talk a little bit more about some of the other ways that, we can help our children feel gratitude this time of year and all times of year. You suggest in your blog post about gratitude, keeping a journal, helping your kids keep a journal that focuses on positive things. And I could see that becoming a difficult exercise for kids, but do you have some ideas on how to make that fun and not an onerous task?
Sure. I think many ideas of things, when you do them as a family and when parents or other adults participate, for kids it becomes more doable. So if it's keeping a journal, it may not just be the child themselves keeping a journal, but maybe it's a family journal. Or each person in the family has a journal. So mom writes in her journal just like everyone else, and thinking of when in the day might you do that? Maybe you do it before kids go to bed, depending what your traditions and your practices are in your home. For example, with my kids, before they go to bed, there's some specific things that we do. And keeping a journal would be something that would work within their pattern much easier at night before they go to, when they go to bed, brush their teeth, wash their face. They know what the drill is. Say prayers, read a book. And journaling at that time to take 3 to 4 minutes and just think about something that they're grateful for, something that happened to them today that made them happy, would be a good time to do that. But if I do it too, then my kids see that it's that modeling that they're more likely to do that as well. I think the other thing for parents to remember is recognize the small steps that your kids take that are indications of gratefulness and appreciation. And sometimes it may seem hard to find, is there anything my kid appreciate, or do they just expect everything? Look for that little thank you or the smile to show that they appreciated something that you do, and comment on it and let them know that you appreciate that they said thank you, or that they opened the door, or that they folded the laundry, or they did certain things. Those are ways that when we recognize things our kids do, then that helps them want to do more and to give back. And gratitude is contagious. It makes you feel good. And when you develop a sense of gratitude, it makes you want to do more for others.
Kim, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Kimberly Greeter is an associate professor of human development and family studies at Iowa State University. She also is the writer of the Science of Parenting blog for Iowa State University Extension. You can find a link to that on our Facebook page and on our Twitter page as well. Thank you so much for sharing your stories today as well, and I hope you all have a wonderful holiday season. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese and Lindsay Moon. Our executive producer is Jeff Schmidt. Production assistance today from Mitchell Schmidt. Technical support from Russell Mansky in Ames. I'm Charity Nebbe. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio News.